Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
There
is power,
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 power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sins are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power,
power,
wonder-working power
in the blood.
Good morning, my friend, and welcome to Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, joining you once again in the studio this morning. Eric Little was a talented runner and a devout Christian. He competed in the 1924 Paris Olympics and was considered a favorite for the 100-meter dash, his strongest event. However, a scheduling conflict arose, and his heat for the 100 meters was set to take place on a Sunday, which went against Eric's religious convictions to observe the Sabbath day. Despite immense pressure and disappointment, Eric chose to honor his faith and withdrew from the 100-meter event. You see, Eric's faith in God was his source of power in life, and he refused to go against God's word. Instead, he decided to compete in the 400-meter event, an event in which he had much less experience. Many doubted his ability to succeed in the longer race, given his lack of training and experience. On the morning of the Olympic 400-meter final, July 11, 1924, Little was handed a folded square of paper. Reading it later, he found the message, "In the old book it says, 'He that honors me, I will honor,' wishing you the best of success always." Recognizing the reference to 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30, Little was profoundly moved that someone other than his coach believed in him and the stance he had taken. This greatly encouraged Eric as he prepared for the race. That day, he won the 400 meters, the race he had not trained for. But Little was also running a different, and in his eyes, a much more important race. You see, Little had been born in the country of China to missionary parents. His heart was set on winning souls for Christ among the Chinese. The following year, he returned to China to serve as a missionary teacher. Aside from two furloughs to Scotland, he remained in China for the next 20 years, until his death in a Japanese civilian internment camp in 1945. Eric knew that the Lord had blessed him with speed. He also knew that his future was beyond the running track. Eric said, "It has been a wonderful experience to compete in the Olympic Games and to bring home a gold medal. But since I've been a young lad, I've had my eyes on a different prize." You see, each one of us is in a greater race than any I have run in Paris. And this race ends when God gives out the medals. Today, as we go to the book of Philippians to discuss a source of empowerment and encouragement for Christians long ago, I think that you will find that those sources of encouragement and empowerment are available for you today.
I've been held by the Savior. I've felt fire from above. I've been down to the river. I ain't the same. A prodigal's return. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven, and I've been washed by the blood.
I'm no stranger to the prison. Well, I've worn shackles and chains, but I am freed and forgiven. I'm not going back. I'll never be the same. That's why I sing.
All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven, and I've been washed by the blood.
All my sins are forgiven, and I've been by the blood.
That's why I sing.
All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven, and I've been washed by sins are forgiven, and I've been washed by the blood, washed by the blood, I'm washed by the forgiven, and I've been washed by the blood, washed by the blood, I'm washed by the
what hope we have in Christ. Let's look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you, to know you personally. Lord, for our listener today, I pray that you would be with them in a special way. May they know your voice speaking to them and your presence with them even now. Lord, you see the things that they're facing that are beyond their control. You see the things that they need strength and help in. I pray that you would be with them in a special way. Lord, would you encourage and empower them to live for you and be all that you designed them, what you created them to be. Would you go with us throughout this day? Help us, Lord, to honor you. May this broadcast and this program today encourage the hearts of those that listen, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This program is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, I invite you to join us each Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock for an evening worship service. On Wednesday nights, we have a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. Now, I hope you'll be able to join us in person for our services, but if you can't, you can always go to LebanonGMC.com, where you can watch live broadcasts of the services, find out about upcoming events, and even share prayer requests with us. That's LebanonGMC.com.
Jesus wants me for a Sunday to shine for him each day. In every way, try to please him at home, at school, at play. A Sunday, Jesus wants me for a Sunday, a Sunday. Reflecting his goodness and always shine for him. A sunbeam, Jesus wants me for a sunbeam. I'll be a sunbeam for him.
For our scripture text this morning, I'm going to begin reading at Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to break in about the middle of the chapter at verse number 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have done well, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'd like to start this message focusing on verse 13 there, where it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We see first here that Paul is empowered by Christ. Throughout this letter to the church in Philippi, we find evidence of Paul's great hope in Christ and dedication to his calling. Those words, I can do. I like that in the Faith Life Study Bible, we find an excellent comment that says, Paul testifies to the sufficiency of Christ's strength. He's prepared to endure any circumstance in life because Christ empowers him to do so. You see, Paul's mindset is that if God asks him to do something, that I can. Lord, with your help. Paul's motivation for life is completely found in Christ. Back in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, we read, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You see, for Paul, every breath and all of his strength is poured into serving Christ because he realized that his life was given to him by Christ. Paul's aim in life was to live his life fully for the glory of God, anticipating the day when he would, through death, enter into the joy of his Lord. Paul realizes that the life he is living is not for his own benefit, but he's looking for heavenly joys and pleasures. And that's where his heart is set. The life he's living has been given to him to minister to the needs of his fellow believers as an ambassador for Christ to the lost and to the church. Paul says that he lives in a strait betwixt two. It's kind of like he has two decisions to make. One, on one side, he desires to be with Christ, which he sees as the better option. And on the other, he's given the opportunity to encourage and assist others in their faith and so prepare others for the joy and the eternal home for which he is so greatly anticipating. I like how the commentator Matthew Henry puts it when he writes, "The Christian life is derived from Christ and directed to him. Christ is the principle, rule, and end of it." You see, Paul was pouring out his life in service for his Lord, but it was done with joy and gladness, because it was done for Christ. The same God who made man is the God who's able to give man the power to be and to do all that he was created to accomplish. For Paul, the statement, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me," is not a confidence in his own strength, but as a man who is rather weak, speaking with confidence in the ability of his Lord. With the power of God, we too can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. You see, Paul had found that Christ was the true source of power for the Christian. Paul was empowered by Christ. Second, we see that Paul is encouraged by the church. This fourth chapter of Philippians also reminds us that the church of Philippi had a generous spirit and had sent a gift to Paul to help with his needs. For this gift, Paul gives thanks, recognizing their love for the man who had given his life for the service of Christ. Yes, Paul mentions that he has learned to be content with little or much, but we understand that each person has needs for the care of their bodies. Paul had suffered illness, and it is thought that this letter is written after 1 or even possibly 2 years of house arrest for Paul. So Paul's going through a lot here. There's an indication that Epaphroditus is the one that's actually writing the letter as Paul dictates. Another indication that perhaps Paul is in quite poor health. How encouraging it must have been for Paul to receive the gift delivered to him by his good friend Epaphroditus, knowing that back in Philippi, there's a body of believers that's thinking about him and is extending a helping hand as they're able. I think that Paul finds great joy in the spirit with which the Philippians gave. Again, we see here in Philippians 4:15, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." I think, my friend, that there's a lesson for us to learn here. The Philippian church was actively looking for ways to bless the body of Christ. They were encouraging and blessing not because Paul was demanding it or begging for it, but it came from a spirit of love and compassion that marked this body of believers. I think we too, as believers, may our hearts and actions reflect that love of Christ that's made such a difference in our lives. Hudson Taylor put it this way. He said, "I used to ask God to help me, then I asked God if I might help him. Now, I've ended up by asking God to do His work through me. You know, my friend, if you know Christ as your Savior, I hope that you're being used as a channel for the grace of God to be poured out into the lives of others. The church plays a very important part in encouraging the believer and helping them to grow spiritually. Have you ever thought about how easy it is to destroy something, how quickly something can be destroyed? For those of you that perhaps are interested in cars, you maybe saw the news that a Pagani Zonda 760, once owned by Formula One driver Lewis Hamilton, was wrecked in a tunnel in the country of Wales. In seconds, the car that some estimate is worth between $8.5 to $11 million was ruined, and the car that could go so fast under its own power had to be loaded onto a rollback truck. That was a very expensive wreck. But you know, my friend, I think there's even a greater disaster that happens much more often. Satan wants to bring destruction right into the church, causing churchgoers to fight and destroy each other, causing pain and doubts to ruin a person spiritually, causing a person to doubt God and to walk away from Him. Sadly, this happens all too often. And I've even met a few that have experienced great hurts in the church. My friend, if that's been your experience, I want you to know that it is not a representation of the love of Christ. The church is designed by God to be a source of help and encouragement in your spiritual journey. Yes, at times people make mistakes and are often misunderstood. But the true follower of Christ should be marked by a spirit of love and compassion that points others to Christ and the hope that is found in Him. The church is meant to be a means of grace in the life of the believer, an encouragement, providing practical and meaningful encouragement in our walk with Christ. Like the Apostle Paul, each of us benefit greatly as we are connected to a body of believers in which we minister and are ministered to. This Christian life is meant to be lived in communion with Christ and community with the saints of God. This morning, my friend, I encourage you, fellow believer, to trust in the power of God for the strength that you need and be that source of encouragement for someone that you know is going through times of trouble. And if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is your day of opportunity. There is freedom from sin and real peace and joy to be found in Christ Jesus. Will you trust Him? Our time for this program is coming to a close, but if you have a question about how to be saved or a spiritual matter, we would love to talk with you and share Jesus with you in person. Stop by today during regular service times at 10:30 this morning or 6 o'clock tonight, or you can call our church office and set up an appointment to talk to someone who cares about you. The number to call is 717-273-3690, or you can send us a message at lebgmc@gmail.com. We would be delighted to help you in any way that we can. We're a church of just ordinary people, but we've found God to be the answer, the hope and help of all who seek Him. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you a very blessed week.
Church of Jesus is still